Bear Down Bears fans, Caleb Williams speaks on the Pivot podcast, and boy, did he have a lot to say to all the critics of his game. I thought he said some really, really good things, talked really confidently, and we got to go through all of those. We'll be reacting to some of the clips here on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do, and just so you know, today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off I-80-94. How you guys feeling? Another week ahead of us, but this is so incredibly different because, ladies and gentlemen, it is draft week. I am so excited. I cannot wait for this finally to all be done and we can start looking at the team that Ryan Poles has fully put together, evaluate the offseason, evaluate moves that still need to be made, and evaluate how far this team is away from seeing success this season. I'm so excited to see what the Chicago Bears are going to do with this draft outside of the number one overall pick, because I think we got that locked up pretty much. But let's talk about that number one overall pick. Caleb Williams on the Pivot podcast, having a really, really good conversation. I implore every single person here to go listen to it. If you have any doubts on this young man, I promise you your confidence level will skyrocket from hearing this podcast. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, we knew this about him the entire time. Why are we? I'm not going to do the voice thing. I know a lot of people like the voice thing, but I'm trying to present an olive branch to everybody out here. I'm not going to do the voice thing, but we knew this about him the entire time. Well, for those people who were doubting, I think that this is a great listen because it really gives an insight into who he is as a person. It takes all of the rumors, all of the negatives that have been presented on him. And not to say that you may not still have doubts, but you get to hear from the horse's mouth his side of the story. And I think that's great. And I think the number one thing that really stood out to me was how focused Caleb Williams is throughout everything in life. He was talking about on his phone how he's got all his goals set out. And he looks at them every single day. And you know, he ends up handing the phone to Ryan Clark, and you see the goals on there, and you just see how he's been able to accomplish so many things because he's locked in. He's so focused. Let's give it a listen.
I set number one on my list a long time ago. It's and once I hit him or once I pass him and can't do him again, I remove him. And once I either once I achieve him or once I, you know, pass him.
Your list is your screensaver.
Yeah, my list is my screensaver, and
can I see it?
Yeah, yeah. So
it is
so
in there.
My everyday screensaver. Yeah. I have a few other ones on here.
He's way more focused than I ever was.
He's way more focused than you are now.
I have
without a doubt.
This was last year, so I change it every year depending on what I can and cannot reach.
Don't get bored with consistency.
Oh yeah, those are my reminders for me, for myself. But I set my goals, I have certain quotes, and then I get after it. You know, if I feel as if I do these things, so if I won a Heisman, if I won a second Heisman last year, and I won a national championship, then all the self goals, and I try and preach this to some of my guys and the team and stuff, that, you know, if we've reached these team goals, all your self goals get accomplished. So set your self goals, but achieve and reach for a team goal, because all the self goals get swept under that. And yep. So, you know, that's how I do it for team wise. And then obviously some of the self goals, like the first pick is a self goal. Super Bowls is a team goal. So all the MVPs get swiped under that. All the Super Bowl MVPs get swiped under that. All the passing yard leaders, all the, you know, whatever case maybe get swiped under that list. And so that's kind of how I do my goals. So getting it always ends up being getting the team goal for me.
I just thought that was amazing. Hearing his, I'll tell you what, as somebody who is a big follow your dreams guy, I'm gonna be implementing that into my life. You know what I mean? Like just having it always on your screen, having it always something that you wake up and look at every day. That's something that just me personally, I'm going to be adding into my life. But hearing that from Caleb Williams, who's going to be now the future of your franchise, hearing what he's putting first and what he's trying to accomplish. I don't know if you were able to see that there. And for those of you who were just listening in, on his when he's changed screensavers. Of course, he had on the first one, get drafted number one overall, and he's going to be able to accomplish that goal. But on the other one, it was win the Heisman a second time, win the national championship. And when he talks about, right, when you accomplish the team goals, all of the other goals fall into place. That to me is so important to hear because it tells you that whatever this narrative was, that he's out for him, that he's a selfish guy, that a lot of his teammates don't like him, that he's not looking to do for the team, he's looking to do for him. A lot of the stuff that's been dispelled throughout this offseason. And that I think Ryan Poles has proven without a shadow of a doubt when you heard him talk about, you know, I'm struggling to find a guy who doesn't like Caleb Williams right now. When I hear that, that he's looking for the big picture goals and understands that everything else comes with that, that's such a valuable lesson for a young player and such a valuable lesson for so many people in life because it truly is. For you to accomplish this major goal, all of these other things have to come into place. You're going to win a Super Bowl MVP if you win the Super Bowl and you're the quarterback of the team, more than likely. You're going to be one of the top passers in the game if you win a Super Bowl and you have to play quarterback to get there. Very rarely do we see guys who aren't one of the better passers in the game go out there and win Super Bowls. And so I feel like he's got his head on straight. He's focused in the right direction. I love how with Channing, he's like, you know, he's way more focused than I ever was. They're like, he's way more focused than you are right now. But it's just when you see how young he is, but you see that level of focus, that to me is something that as a leader, you have to have as a leader of men. This is really what a lot of the questions on Caleb Williams were how's he going to be as a leader? How's he going to be when he comes in to the NFL as a leader, right? If you keep your team focused on the right goal, everybody eats. It's one of my favorite things that came out of social media, the social media era, right? Everybody eats, B. And I think that that's one of the things that when you look at Caleb, when you look at how he's attacked throughout his college career, now you see kind of what he's been able to, okay, this is where I need to be looking. This is how I need to be moving. And I think so many other things fall into place based on how he set those goals. So many other things all of a sudden make sense because the pain of missing a goal could be a reason for crying, right? And we heard that was the other major criticism on him. We'll talk about that as well. But right, like the pain of missing a goal, the struggle of realizing that you can no longer accomplish a goal, but being able to set new goals. Those are all things that to me, I'm not going to lie. If you're not sold on Caleb Williams, and I was somebody who was not sold on Caleb Williams before Ryan Poles made his decision and all of that, digging deeper into who he is, digging deeper into the mentality and hearing it from him, because you hear from so many people, but it means so much more hearing it from the person who is actually being talked about, hearing it from him and hearing it in this way. Listen, I'm sold. Let's go. Let's go out here. Let's find a way to win some Super Bowls. I thought that he talked about, you know, how his game is going to progress. And he even talked about, and I think this is a great spot for us to transition into our road to the draft, brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. We appreciate our sponsors at Toyota rocking with us all the way to the draft. The draft comp has been put on him so many different times of so many big name quarterbacks. But I think that the name Pat Mahomes kept coming up and everybody's like, yeah, kinda. But like, I don't know if that's the name that I would attribute most to him. And since the recent mock drafts and different things like that have been coming out, there's been one name that's continued to stand out, and it is his favorite quarterback of all time, which, listen, we'll deal with that, you know, once you start winning here, right? It's a little tough. Your favorite quarterback is our arch nemesis. But hearing that Aaron Rodgers is his comp and hearing him talk about how he's going out there trying to mimic Rodgers, I thought that was such an insightful bit of information to bring up, because if you look at Rodgers' game versus the Packers, and I'm telling you, you can look at every single game versus the Bears, and then you look at a lot of what Caleb Williams had to deal with at USC, how he was able to overcome, how he kept that offense on track, it's kind of Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's give it a listen.
I'm a player guy, and Aaron Rodgers is my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon. I'm still Aaron Rodgers fan. He's still my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon of becoming a Jets fan. I couldn't do it. So I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan. If he's playing for somebody, I'm going to root for him and things like that. So That's my answer to that.
You know what happens. You make all these off-platform throws, and you do some of the things that you could do with improv, and people compare you. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is the gold standard at the position. The closer we get to the draft, you are hearing that comparison more, the Aaron Rodgers comparison. As someone who grew up a fan of Aaron Rodgers, when you hear things like that, what does that make you feel?
Makes you feel good. So I mimic my game after, you know, it's like the
Kobe MJ.
It's like the Kobe MJ kind of thing where you know, you watch and you mimic and you know, okay, I'm gonna go try this while I'm training. I'm gonna go try this little foot pop. I'm gonna try this, you know, throwing my body this way and throwing it back over my head this way, and like he did versus the Vikings in between, you know, two, three guys with a D in his face and things like that. So when I was like his first, second year in the league, third year in the league. So just, you know, trying things like that at a young age, trying things that Patrick Mahomes does, trying things that, you know, Tom Brady does, watching Tom Brady, and you can see in his eyes, like, okay, this is a switch that happened when, you know, so it's like I said, sitting back, watching, learning, taking in, you know, what I can take in and adapt to my game in my best way possible and make it my own. And some of it may look like some of what Pat does, some of what Aaron Rodgers does, because I mean, they're the best. And you know, to be the best, you know, you want to learn from the best. To be a leader, you got to first be a follower. And so, with that, I watch those guys, I follow those guys, you know, their steps and things like that. So, you know, to get to that point, to get to where they are, winning Super Bowls, being MVPs or you know, throwing these crazy passes and things like that is where I want to be. I want to win Super Bowls. I want to be up there with those guys competing versus them.
To be a winner, you have to first be a follower. I mean, listen, that pretty much sums it up. And I love the fact that he's not shying away. So many guys shy away from the, like, oh, you're trying to be like this guy. Do you want to be like this guy? Do you see yourself as this, right? And it's like, well, no, I see myself as, you know, me, and this is how I'm going to be, and this is how things are going to, I'm going to create my own lane. There are guys that have already done it and have been uber successful at it. I love the fact that you hear that he's looking at so many different things that Patrick Mahomes is doing, that Aaron Rodgers has done, and looking to mimic those guys, because guess what? Those are guys that have had success that Tom Brady has done. Those are the guys that have had success. Those are the guys that there's already a blueprint there. Why sit there and try to rewrite the entire book when you've already got 98% of the pages written and you've just got to add your finesse to what's already there? It also, I think Aaron Rodgers is the perfect comp as well when you talk about him mimicking his game to him. Because on top of everything else, you've also got a guy who, in Aaron Rodgers, has the similar size, similar build. I thought the Kobe to MJ comparison was perfect. Now, that's a lot of a greatness to have to live up to, but I thought that comparison was perfect because when you look at how both guys are built, how both guys play, I think a lot of, right, we've gotten to a point where now the big play guys, all of a sudden your mind instantly just goes to Patrick Mahomes. He's the guy that does it. But it was Aaron Rodgers before all of that. It was Aaron Rodgers before all of that. And I think that that's something that once I heard the Aaron Rodgers comparison, we started hearing that a lot more, it was like a light turned on. It was like, this kid does kind of move like Rodgers. Like, I know, listen, and it's not to say, I feel like people view that as like, that's more of an acceptable answer. That's still ridiculously high praise. Like, oh, well, you know, comparing him to Pat Mahomes is insane, but Aaron Rodgers is a more acceptable answer. Oh, is it? You mean the guy that, like, just doesn't throw interceptions, that has a 3+1 touchdown to interception ratio, that has almost 60,000 yards in the NFL, that has a career quarterback rating of 103? Like, yeah, that's the more acceptable guy because he's only got one Super Bowl ring. So that feels a little bit more right than Pat Mahomes, because how can you reach that level of greatness? Aaron Rodgers is literally probably the greatest talent as far as throwing the football we've seen until Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes has a lot of career left to absolutely surpass that. But Aaron Rodgers is a freak of nature as well. But I love the fact that when you look at Caleb and when you compare it to Aaron's game, right, the thing that always stood out to me with Aaron was you had to pick your poison. Are you going to blitz this guy? Are you going to play zone against this guy? Are you going to wait for him to pick you apart? Or are you going to try to attack him? Because if you try to attack him, He has an ability to step up in the pocket unlike any other. He has an ability to get outside the pocket. Most people don't sit there and go, oh, this guy's going to run for so much. But he does have an ability to stretch a play with his legs. We've seen him do that a million times. And guess what? Those amazing plays, those big plays that pop up, those are the ones where you sit there and go, oh, snap. Right? Like when you got to those moments where you were afraid to give Aaron Rodgers a minute or more on the clock, that's kind of the type of plays that we see from Caleb Williams. And so I do think that that is a very, very good comparison. I think the fact that he understands already, listen, these are guys that have already done it. If I mimic my game after them, I'm probably going to be in a pretty good spot. Hey, aim for the stars and you might land for the moon kind of mindset. And I think that that really does bring out the most. It says the most about, again, going back to his mindset, going back to his focus, going back to what his goals and dreams are. He's sitting there taking a little bit from everybody and trying to put it all together. When you look at the off-platform throws, we can't act like Rodgers didn't do those things. Does Pat Mahomes do them at a higher rate? 100%. But Aaron Rodgers had the ability to do those. And so it's tough, right? Because he's like, I'll root for Rodgers wherever he goes. So it's like, I mean, as a Bears fan, it's like, come on, dog. Like, you ain't got to twist the knife. But like, if you come in here and you're dominant day one, if you come in here and you turn into the greatest quarterback in Bears history and it looks Rodgers-esque, nobody's going to be worried about who your favorite quarterback. We're going to be thanking your favorite quarterback for doing all of those things to us for all of those years because he showed you how to go out there and make similar plays, how to add those type of things to your repertoire. And it gets me excited when I hear that he looks to greatness to be his standard. He looks to greatness to be the reason or the style of play that he's taking from. And I know most guys do. I know most guys are going to look at the best guys who do it, but he doesn't have a problem admitting it. He doesn't have a problem going after it. He doesn't have a problem saying, I'm willing to chase it. And I think those are things that a lot of quarterbacks that we hear, right? They try to avoid those because they don't want the comparisons put on them. They don't want the pressure of saying, hey, I'm trying to be like Rodgers. I'm trying to be like Brady. I'm trying to be like Mahomes. They don't want that pressure put on him. He doesn't shy away from that. That's a superstar level mentality that we don't see, that we haven't seen often enough, or if at all on the offensive side from players who are actually able to go out there and back it up with their play on the field. And Caleb, at least to this point, has been able to do that. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and rocking with us. I'm trying to find this quote that Caleb had where he basically talked about, you know, kind of how people have compared him to different things. And I can't find it right now, but basically what he says in the Pivot podcast, I thought this was such a great moment, is he talks about whatever quarterback you need me to be, I can be. When it comes to quarterbacks in the pocket or quarterbacks able to get to the outside and make plays, I can be that guy. No matter what. He's got a stat he says that's saved in his phone when it talks about how when you compare quarterback play in the pocket versus quarterback play on the outside, I'm on the furthest end of every spectrum of among any quarterback that's coming out this year, among any quarterback in college football right now. And that tells you that anything you need me to do, I can do to go out there and win a game. That confidence. That walking into the door, whatever you need me to do, I got you. However you need me to put you on my back, I'm willing to do that so that we can go out there and win. And I think that goes back to the goals. That it all ties together. This kid's mindset, his head's on right with all of this and hearing how he talks about the dreams and goals and hearing, you know, how confident he is in the ability to accomplish those dreams and goals. It all goes together to me. And I think that it goes into him, right? Even when you talk about him crying, everybody had this big issue. Oh my God, how can a leader of men cry? Y'all never seen a Super Bowl. You've never seen people lose in the AFC title game, NFC title game. You've never seen teams lose in the World Series. You've never seen teams. I don't know if the whole there's no crying in baseball really set off like an entire generation, but like we've watched guys cry in sports all the freaking time. Joel Embiid was bawling when he lost on a game winner. I mean, it was ugly cry Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? And I thought hearing him talk about the reaction to the crying and how people took this to an entirely different level that it needed to be. This was, hey, address the haters and tell them what it really means when they see that emotion on the field.
Since I was four, when I lost, I cried. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't bother me, but the fallout that everybody kind of, it struck gold, I guess, for people and things like that. And so one thing about me is my guys know I care. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then the second part of that was that one looked so much more than the other ones. Cause I mean, I've been on the internet before with, you know, Jordan crying emoji and right next to my picture and stuff like that.
I got some funny memes.
I do. My homeboy behind the set sends me all of them. And so, yeah, we both die, laugh at them. You know, when we're sitting here chilling on a couch, we both die, laugh at them. And so that one hit home for me because I understood that it was getting to the end point of the year. I wasn't able to reach a championship and possibly my last game, or one of my last games. And so that's why that one hit so heavy and why it was so, it looked so exaggerated and things like that, because it hit me really hard right after the game, because I understood my college career and my guys that I've been with, you know, for 3 years, 2 years is coming to an end for me, and going 6-3 at that time, you understand that there's no national championship. And so, especially in college, it beat me up pretty bad right there in that moment. So that's why it looks like that. But one thing, like I said, my guys know I care, and winning is the most important thing to me. I appreciate all the awards, but I will say this about the awards. None of y'all saw me cry when I got the awards.
And that's what it comes down to, dog. Like, listen, I understand, like, there's this generation where it's like you take the loss on the chin. You don't show the emotion in public because it shows a sign of weakness. Okay. And I'm not taking anything away from that generation. I mean, that was a time in human history and American history, especially in American sports, where, you know, showing that level of emotion meant that you were weak, meant that, you know, and it gave your opponent something to go out there and use against you when they faced up against you, and you didn't want to do any of that. But when you hear that winning meant so much to him that he couldn't control his emotion, and that's kind of what he talks about in there, right? Where he jumps in the stands, sees his mom. The second his mom touches him on the shoulder, he just, everything hits him at once. He goes back to being that four-year-old kid where the losing eats him up so much inside. And he realizes, right, at that point, you've got what? You've got 4 or 5 more games left, and the season's over for you. It's done. You're 6-3. You can't win. You can't go to a national championship. You can't go to the Big 12 championship, right? You can't do any of that because you weren't good enough, because your team wasn't good enough. And you know, as the quarterback, the guy who's taking all of the daggers, the guy who's getting hit with all of the shots, he's gotta carry that load on his own. Not to say that the team isn't feeling those same things with him, but that's a lot to put on a kid's shoulders. And yes, he's still a kid. I know he's making $4 million, whatever that is. He's still a kid. Money doesn't change you from being a kid. And he's a very mature kid that is becoming a very mature man that will be heading into the league. But like the crying aspect of it, like, don't take that as a sign of weakness. Take that as a sign of want, going back to the goals. There's an entire list of things that he had set out for that year that is gone. You don't have the goals, you're not winning the Heisman. Right? You don't have your team in a position to win a national championship or to go to the playoffs or whatever it is, you're not winning the Heisman. When you've already won it, I should say, right? I'm not saying that it's not possible to win it if you're that level of a player, but when you've already won one, the standards are raised, national championship. So that takes him out of that conversation. You're not getting these guys that you fought with for 2 years. You're not going to get to hold up a trophy with them. That's gone out the window. This entire list of goals that you had is poof, gone in an instant. And you got to deal with that. And yeah, he did cry in his mom's arms in the stands. But you know what? I'm sure that there's been many a moments where he's been smiling with his mom in the stands, where he's been happy with his mom in the stands because he's been able to accomplish those goals. And it tells you how much the goals mean to him when he has to go through all of that. And so I never took any issue with the crying. I think that was, as somebody who was on the other side of the debate, that was always the weirdest thing for me. Where, oh, this guy shows emotion on the field. My God, how could, what are you doing? Are men going to want to follow a guy who cries in his mom's arms? Y'all not adults? you ain't never had a bad day? And it shows that I think a lot of the people that went after him on that, you've never had your dreams evaporate in front of you, or at least feel like something that you were really hell-bent on accomplishing evaporate in front of you that fast. Because it is an emotion that I can't explain. When you feel like, yo, this is how it's going to go. This is how we're going to be. This is how I get to the other. Okay, here we go. And it's gone that quickly. And you did everything in your power possible to try and make sure that didn't happen. It's a tough load to bear. And again, when I say, you know, there's some things from this interview that I take into my life and I'm going to adapt in my life and different things like that. I mean that seriously, because like being able to recover from that is how the great players are made. Being able to recover and go twice as hard, being able to recover and be able to dominate, being able to say, okay, that's over with. My God, this thing that I've worked for this entire year is done. Now, what do I start on next? That's where true greatness is made. And I love the fact that this guy is chasing greatness. I love the fact that he's going after greatness. My favorite comments from all of this are about him chasing 12. And we all know who 12 is. It doesn't need to be said. Let's listen in on Caleb Williams talking about chasing time.
Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12. I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far, which is exciting for me because LA was great, but there is probably double digits of teams here. And so, I mean, it's a big pool of, you know, so you have to be winning championships. You have to be playoffs every year to have, you know, the fans and things like that show up. And so, one thing, you know, if it was Chicago's a place that I've heard that they love ball, which is really excited for me and something that I'm looking forward to and embracing. Like I said, the fans and community, because it's something that is huge for, I mean, you go to COVID year. I mean, the impact that they have when they're there and not there is huge. And so, you know, having them there is going to be huge, making those home games, real home games and really away games and tough games for, you know, other crowds or other teams and things like that. So, yeah, really excited if that's the place and you know, that's the city to, you know, light up and bring back and revive and make game days and everything really, really fun and enjoyable.
The only thing that he said in this entire podcast that was a lie was that there's so many teams here that if you don't go out there and perform, that people aren't going to show up. We're going to be there. There's no doubt. Caleb, you don't have to worry about good, bad weather, good weather. Chicago's going to be there. We ride for the Bears different than we ride for anybody in this city. Listen, I'm a White Sox fan. Look at those stands. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be at a lot of those games this year. Why? Because it's not hard to get into them. It's a different world playing for the Chicago Bears. And I hope that, you know, once you see that, you see how passionate the fans are. But he's right. We have a fan base that loves ball. The one thing that I love, and no matter what side of the debate we were on, if you were on the Justin Fields side, if you were on the Caleb Williams side, was that I could sit there and talk to people on both sides that were intelligent. Yeah, there was some dumb dumbs in there. There was some idiots. There were some people that got a little toxic out there that didn't want to hear arguments or didn't want to hear either side's reasoning. And I think that that makes things tough. I think that we have fans and we have fanatics. But one thing that you could say about Chicago is that we're a city that, like, hey, listen, I got to sit here and go into my job as an electrician at IBEW. And I'm putting in a 16-hour shift. And you know what I'm doing on my lunch break? I'm sitting here and I'm looking up Caleb Williams' stats for over the middle. How often does he attack over the middle? What is his completion percentage over the middle? So that I can sit there and have an intelligent conversation on football. I know a bunch of guys that do that. I know a bunch of guys that do that. Or I want to sit here and talk about, you know, well, you know, the base of the conversation is the Chicago Bears don't get enough sacks. Well, okay, where the pressure's created from, a bunch of people that are investing in PFF and different things like that, to know the inner stats, to sit there and say, listen, you got to sit there and look at how much pressure they're getting from the interior. How much is Javon Dexter doing? What's his pressure rate? What's his quarterback hit rate, right? Like, we are a fan base of fans. And yes, maybe we get to a point where we get a little too fanatic at times and we get too excited and we get a little overhyped about our teams. But we're going to sit there and we're going to do the research. We're going to dig deep, and we do love football no matter what. We love our sports. This is an amazing city for him to come to. And when you pair that up with, again, going back to this young man's mindset of chasing Tom Brady, wanting to be in one place for 20 years and chasing Tom Brady. And that place could be here. Those are two things that excite me to hear. Why? Because he understands what the gold standard of quarterback is in the NFL. The gold standard of quarterback isn't a guy that's spending 4 years with one team and then he ends up picking up, moving out, and he's got like 5 years on another team. And like those guys, you don't look at those guys that way, right? You don't look at the quarterbacks who are the journeyman guys or the quarterbacks who are the, you know, they're good quarterbacks, but they're quarterbacks for hire, right? Listen, 20 years down the line, we're going to be singing the praises of Kirk Cousins being able to get so much money, not Kirk Cousins being in one place forever, because I'll bet you we got probably a 4 or 5 year stint of him here with the Vikings. Yeah, he's going to play a while, ladies and gentlemen. I can guarantee that. But, right, you're going to look at Kirk Cousins in Washington. Then you're going to look at him in Minnesota. And then you're going to look at him in Atlanta and how he finishes out his career here. And you're going to go, hey, he was a nice player. He had some stints there. But those aren't the guys we talk about. Think about the guys we talk about. Young. Elway, Brady, Manning, and yeah, Peyton went and won in Denver, but like we kind of were like, just don't die. Like, don't hurt your neck again, bro. Like, get there. You're going to be okay. We think of him as a Colt because of how much time he spent with the Colts. Right? Like, yeah, guys finish their careers in different places. I can see that happening, but that gold standard of guys is usually with one team. And he wants to be that gold standard quarterback. I love that. You want to chase Tom? I love that. Even Tom finished on a different team. But when we get 10 years away, right, it's still so fresh. He's talking about coming back. Please don't come back, Tom. We don't want to see you die. But right, like, it's still so fresh that we're like, he also did it with the Buccaneers and won a championship. Yes, he did. But when we're 20 years out, we're going to think of Tom Brady as a Patriot, not as a Buccaneer. The Buccaneers thing, I guarantee you more people will be like, oh, yeah, he was with the Bucs too, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, he did win that championship with the Bucs. He was killing that year. 5,000, crazy. You think of those guys as the team that they're with for the majority of their career, and he understands that. And again, you talk about a guy who's got his head on right, who's got his head on his shoulders right, and who's looking to go out there and be dominant. My favorite thing about Tom is the Julian Edelman story, where Tom Brady's sitting there lifting weights. I think they had just lost to the Giants. And Julian Edelman comes up to him and says, hey, don't worry about it. He's working out right after the Super Bowl next day. He said, don't worry about it, Tom. You know, we'll get you to not young. Who am I thinking of? Freaking, my God, why can't I think of the quarterback? Name is slipping me right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. San Francisco quarterback. And everybody's going to be cooking me in the comments for this. but we'll get you there. We'll get you to the number one quarterback of all time. He's like, I'm not chasing a quarterback. I'm not chasing NFL records. I'm chasing Jordan. I want to beat six. I want to get over six. I want to go for the guy that is not the gold standard, but the GOAT standard in the NFL. I want to go for the guy that is Montana. Jesus Christ, Pat. I want to go for the guy. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Let the jokes fly in. Fully accepting all jokes on that. My God. Somebody's going to clip that up. I already know it. It's all good. I want to go after the guy who's the best of the best. It's not about who is the best in the NFL. Who's viewed as the best of the best? Who's viewed as the top dog? Like, legitimately, you think about it now. When you have the GOAT of GOATs conversation, nobody passes Gretzky for me. Gretzky's one. Half of Gretzky's career could not happen, and he's still the greatest hockey player of all time. That's insane to me. Like, that's mind-blowing numbers that Gretzky was putting up. So Gretzky's one. But Jordan was always two. Now you got to have a conversation. Is Jordan two? Is Brady two? There's an argument for Brady being two. Jordan might have moved down in that conversation a little bit. And I'm talking about team sports here, guys. I know we can get into the solos. You had Tiger Woods in there. You got all the tennis guys and stuff like that. That's a different, I mean, that's number one. But as a team sport, you're GOATs of GOATs. Brady's in there now. That's what he's chasing. He's not chasing just being great in the NFL. He's chasing being the greatest that the NFL has ever had to offer and the greatest, if not the greatest that sports has ever had to offer. That's a different level of great. That's a different level of conversation. And I love the fact that he's looking to do that. I love the fact that he's looking to go out there and he's not worried about putting that pressure on himself. That's superstar stuff. People don't realize that. Like, most players come into this league and they say, listen, I just want to come in here. I want to make my name. I want to find my place in the league. I want to, even the great ones. I'm a play my game and I'm going to figure it out. Even the great ones, that's how they operate. He's coming in day one saying, you know what I want to do? I want to play like Aaron Rodgers. I want to win like Tom Brady. I want to be able to make all the throws like Patrick Mahomes. I want to be in a city for 20 years. I want to be able to go out there and say I want a bunch of championships. I mean, you got to think, if he's chasing Brady, I want to be able to say I won 8 Super Bowls. My God, could you imagine 8 Super Bowls? That's ridiculous, bro. That's ridiculous. I'll take a modest 6. Yeah, I mean, a modest 6. I'm not asking for too much. Take a modest 6 if we're going big here. But you're talking about trying to go after break. You're talking about 8 Super Bowls. That pressure he's putting on himself day one. He ain't even on the team yet. That is superstar mentality. And we have not had that. Absolutely, we haven't had it on the offensive side. Maybe there's some players we could say on the defensive side that had that, but we have not had that on the offensive side. And so when I hear stuff like that, listen, y'all can call me what you want. Y'all can say I'm flipping. Y'all can say, oh, this guy's a Jessica. I'm all in on Caleb. Let's go. Let's go win some Super Bowls. Let's figure this thing out. Ryan Poles keep building his team out. We got the draft coming up this Thursday. I almost said Friday. It is Friday as well. But this Thursday, so much content coming between now and then. Tune in with us tomorrow. We got Courtney Cronin coming on the show Wednesday with J-Mac as we preview this draft. Maybe get a final mock in there as well. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. One love. Bear Dining. It's almost here. Let's go. Peace.